Live from the Vortex Dome at LA Center Studios, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
It's tonight's guest, professional author, ocean coach, Dr. Bradley Nelson.
Night sky. Look at the night sky where the stars are.
Musical guest, Jen. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This show is finally happening. This show has been in the works for almost a couple years. This is what I mean by this. Like maybe a year and a half ago or so, I came across the work of Dr. Bradley Nelson, and I brought it to the attention of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and I said, look at this. This guy looks really interesting. And Dorothy looked into it, and she said, yeah, he is really interesting. I'm going to order the book. And Dorothy got the book. And that was the end of that. And then about 6 to 9 months ago, I said, Dorothy, hey, look, this guy looks really interesting. And Dorothy said, yeah, you said that the last time and you had me get the book. And I said, did you get it? She says, yeah, I have the book. Do you want it? And I said, yes. So she gave me the book and that was the end of that. And so about 6 months ago, I said to Dorothy, Dorothy, where was that book you gave me? So I finally found it. I pulled it out and I said, you know, we should just contact his PR people and just get him on the show, whether I have time to read the book or not. And so we did. We contacted the PR people and we happened not to have heard back. And that was the end of that. And then about a month ago, I thought, I just need to read this book. I guess he's not available to be on the show, but I'm interested in his work. So I started reading the book. And just as I started reading the book, I get an email from his PR people saying, it doesn't look like we either didn't contact you or you didn't respond, but Dr. Bradley would like to be on the show. And I thought, that's so weird. I just picked up and started reading his book. And so we've been working on making this show happen. And I had the book on my ottoman as I was finishing the last chapters. I had a client coming in and I thought I should tidy up. And then I thought, no, Dr. Bradley's book could stay right there. And so it did. And my client walked in and she looked at the book and she looked at me. And then she looked at the book and she said, is there a book sitting there? I said, yeah, it's a really good one. It's called The Emotion Coach. She said, I just heard about him on the radio or something like that. And I said, this would be a great person for the Life Changes show. When I walk in, I'm going to ask Filippo if he's ever heard of him. And by the way, on the way here, I found a practitioner and tomorrow I have an appointment. And now the book is sitting right there. And I thought, there's something happening around this guy. I can't wait to meet him. And tonight, we finally have Dr. Bradley Nelson on the show. And lots of excitement around our musical guests, Gems. And you'll hear more about them when we come back a little later on the show. All on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And I'm sitting here with Mark Leger, our co-host and producer.
Well, I'll see your synchronicity and raise you one more story.
Oh?
Because shortly before the show tonight, I got a text from another friend, a friend of our director of photography, Kristen, that started working with us, who's had a deep affinity for domes, and he just wrapped a project for a commercial, I believe, Dr. Nelson. Right?
Oh, wow.
So, hi, Jordan. So it's a bit more synchronicity.
Wow. It's as if this was obviously meant to happen. And here it is. We've titled the show, Let Go of Your Emotional Baggage, because this is based on the emotion code, which we'll talk about in a moment. Our guest is a retired doctor of chiropractic, and he's a best-selling author. Welcome, Dr. Bradley Nelson, to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's really great to be here.
It's really great to have you here. Actually, you flew in just for this. Thank you so much. You flew yourself, actually.
I'm a pilot. Yeah, we did fly in.
Nice. You know, as I was telling you what the monologue was going to be about, you said, that's pretty much the story of your life.
Yeah, lots of synchronicities and amazing things that just seem to happen, and it's okay.
It's okay. It's going to be
okay.
All right.
I'm okay with it.
The whole career started with that kind of synchronicity, right?
No, it really did.
Actually, when you were a kid.
Yeah. Well, it did. I had an amazing thing that happened when I was 7 years old, and I was really sick with the measles, and I had overheard my parents talking about the plan for me, and the plan was I was going into the hospital the next day and going into something called an oxygen tent, and I didn't really know what an oxygen tent was. The tent part sounded interesting.
Like the bubble thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They don't have those anymore, but the oxygen tents. But, I'm older, but my parents came into the room that night. They'd made a bed for me upstairs so I could be near their bedroom. So I'm lying on the couch in the living room feeling really sick. And my parents came in. And my mother said to my father, she said, "Honey, will you kneel down and say a prayer so our boy will be able to get well?" Mm. And they did. And in the middle of this prayer, this short prayer that was heartfelt that my dad was offering, I suddenly had this change that started at the top of my head. And it went whoosh through my body to the soles of my feet. And I was made well. It was the most amazing thing. And I remember every moment of that, because to go from being really sick one moment to being totally well in the next instant is just so bizarre and so impossible that you can't ever forget it. It's burned into your mind forever.
Wow.
And I held my tongue until my dad was done praying, which didn't take long. Mm. And when he was done, I said, I'm better. I'm totally better. And they said, "That's fine, honey. Go back to sleep. Tomorrow you're going into the oxygen tent." But that taught me that there's a higher power, see, that we can draw upon. And that's really the whole thread that runs through this, my life, and also the emotion code and all this other work that we do. It's really all about trying to connect back to that higher power. And if you ask, you receive. And that's what happened that night. And that's been the whole story of my life, really.
And if you didn't get it at that point, a few years later, you had an opportunity to get it again.
To get it again, right.
So what was that?
Well, I had I was diagnosed with kidney disease when I was about 13.
Mm.
And it was there was nothing medically that could be done for me, but it was some alternative doctors who fixed me then. And healed me within just a few weeks.
Actually, didn't medicine say that you shouldn't play or you'll
There was nothing. They said I shouldn't play or run around much, and they didn't even need to tell me that, because I mean the pains that I would get would be like a knife in the back, and it would take my breath away or put me on the ground sometimes. But these alternative doctors worked with me, and in short order they fixed me, and I knew in my heart, even though I was only 13, I knew that what they'd done had really helped me. So I decided that's what I wanted to do with my life, is go into the healing arts. Well, mm-hmm. I got sidetracked, mm-hmm. and I discovered computers, and this was back in the early 80s, and decided I was going to go into business and into computer programming. And we went home to Montana, and my wife and I had been married for just a few years. Went home to Montana, and we were sitting around with my mom and my dad kind of out of the blue said to me, "Are you sure you don't want to go to chiropractic school, going to the healing arts, because you've always wanted to do that, and it seems like a great career?" And I said, "No, I'm going this other direction." And he said, "Well, why don't you think about it one more time?" So I thought, okay, well, maybe he's right. So I did, and my wife and I made up a pro and con list, you know, of these two different possible futures, and they were both compelling and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But now I didn't know what to do. I thought I had everything figured out.
One was computers, right?
One was computers and business. I was about 6 months away from going into the MBA program at college, and so, you know, having learned at a young age that there's a higher power, whatever you want to call it, that you can draw upon, I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, "Hey, Dad, if you have anything to say about this, help me to know what to do, because I'll go either direction." And I just thought maybe I could get some guidance. And so that night, I had this experience where I was awakened three different times. And each time that I was awakened, I would find my mind full of all these warm, happy thoughts about how great it is to serve people naturally and be a healer and so on. And I would think, well, yeah, but, you know, computers, I was really into computers. And I'd fall back asleep. So the next night, I still don't know what to do. And so I'm asking again.
Because that wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough, right? Exactly. I have a very thick head. So the next night, the same thing happened. But this time, I was awakened three different times. Mm-hmm. But each time on the second night, the feelings were exponentially more powerful, if you can imagine. So that on the third time on the second night, when I'm awakened, my mind is just, it's overwhelming. Thoughts of service to mankind and humanity and the entire planet. And right then I actually heard a voice. This might sound crazy, but I actually heard a voice that spoke to me as clearly as I'm speaking to you right now. And it said, this is a sacred calling. Mm. And I thought, well, okay, I get it. That's what I'll do then. I get the answer. That's it. And so, and I've thought about that a lot, you know, and I had an experience once when I was 18 years old and I learned that these bodies that we're walking around in really are very special and very sacred. Mm. And they're like temples, if you think of, you know, they're like an edifice, like a building sort of in a way, but there are these physical bodies that we have. So when we're working on, I believe that anybody that is helping that physical body to function better and feel better is doing something that's really special and really sacred. So anyway, yeah, so that's kind of how it went. So when I got into practice, I got into this habit. I figured, you know, that higher power had gotten me into this. So I got in a habit. Whenever somebody would come in to see me, I'd just take a moment and silently ask for help and try to connect with that higher power to help that person. And I'll tell you something. There were times during those years, and I practiced for about 20 years, give or take. There were times during those years when someone would come in to see me that had problems going on I didn't know how to deal with. And I would just pause and just ask for that help. And it was a totally private, totally personal habit. Nobody ever knew I was taking a moment to ask for help.
You didn't tell the patient, no. I have no idea what to do with you, but hold on, yeah, I'm going to ask.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask God.
I actually used to tell my patients, I'm basically clueless, but your body knows, your subconscious mind knows what you need,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, there were times when the information would just literally flood into me like an avalanche of what to do for this person. And I learned that that subconscious mind within each one of us, that spirit within us, the unconscious or subconscious part of us knows exactly what we need with a perfect understanding. Mm. If you're diagnosed with some kind of a disease, consciously you don't know why, your doctor doesn't know why either, but within you is the information, and that is what this work is based on. And what I found during all those years was that the single biggest common denominator for all of my patients, no matter how old or how young, no matter what their problem was, mental, emotional, or physical, they had something in common, and that was they had emotional baggage. And getting rid of that baggage was the key in so many, many cases to getting people well.
The emotional baggage connected to the issues they were having.
Well, exactly right. See, what happens to us is that, you see, these bodies of ours are made of energy, even though they seem solid to us. And when you're feeling an intense emotion of anger, or resentment, or depression, or grief, whatever it might be, what's going on is that your body's feeling a particular frequency of energy, right? Every emotion has its own vibrational frequency. And so anger is different from sadness. They're all different. But when you're feeling an intense emotion, your whole being can take on this vibration of that emotion. And sometimes it's too much for the body, so that when that event is over, when the bully moves away, or you finalize your divorce and you move on, or you quit that job and get a better job, you think that you're moving on, but yet some of that energy is stuck there in your body. And we call these trapped emotions. And a trapped emotion is a ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a softball. And these things will distort the normal energy field of the body. And that's a bad thing, because that's all your body is an energy field. Mm. And if you distort that energy field, well, you're interfering with the chemical reactions in those tissues, with blood flow, lymph flow, and the flow of acupuncture energy. And so these things cause physical discomfort. In fact, 90% in our experience of all the physical pain that people have is actually being caused, if you can imagine, by their emotional baggage, but we see it over and over and over. And we've been seeing it now for 30 years. You find the emotional baggage behind the pain, get rid of it, and the pain doesn't have a reason to be there anymore, and it goes away.
And you literally have thousands.
What do you recommend, Dr. Nelson, when your emotional baggage, like when I finally started letting myself feel that, and then you open it up, it's kind of like a clown car, where there's just another bag and another bag and another bag. It seems to just keep coming.
It can seem like that sometimes. The average person is carrying around, the average adult has about 300 trapped emotions. And
So
yeah, it's a process where you start getting rid of the baggage and, you know, you release a trapped emotion. It usually takes about a minute. Once you learn how to do the process, you can find an emotion and get rid of it in about a minute.
Wow, really?
Yeah, once you learn it.
Wow, well, you have so many testimonials to that fact that people have experienced after not only coming to see you, but actually learning how to do it themselves.
Yep.
And you actually teach people not only in workshops and all that, but in the book, The Emotion Code. We'll talk more about that when we come back. I can't wait. With Dr. Nelson, you can go actually straight to his website at actually two ways. If you go to if you go to discoverhealing.com, that's where you can get the book, that's where you can learn more about our good doctor. Otherwise, if you want, he's offering two free chapters that you can download, and that's at emotioncodegift.com. So we'll talk more about all that when we come back here on the Life Changes Show, and a little later on, live music with Gems on the Life Changes Show, right after this.
Hey guys, so I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Dr. Bradley Nelson. I am riveted. Once I started the book, I couldn't put it down. I really was thinking, yes, and and the good news is, too, we can work on ourselves.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, basically, it has to do, first of all, with understanding that the subconscious mind knows what emotional baggage you have. Consciously, you don't know. For example, I was at an event once, and there was a woman that came up out of the audience, a young woman, about 21 years old, and she was just helping me to demonstrate how this works. So I had her hold her arm out, stretch her arm out parallel to the floor, and I put my hand on her wrist area, and then I pressed down, and she was able to resist me with downward pressure. And then I started asking her some questions. And the subconscious mind will respond to questions by the body being a slightly weaker if the answer coming from the subconscious mind is no. Mm-hmm. So if someone's holding out their arm, for example, mm-hmm. if you were to hold out your arm here, and if you were to say, "My name is Filippo," that's a true statement, you'd be strong on downward pressure. You could be able, right. You'd be able to resist me. if you said, my name is Bob, that wouldn't be true maybe, and your arm would go down. So I have this woman, this young woman, up in front of this audience, and I'm asking her questions. And what I find is that she has a trapped emotion, and the emotion is forlorn. Now, how we find trapped emotions is we have a chart of emotions, and you can look this up on Google. There's zillions of them out there. Just look up emotion code chart. And there are 60 emotions in the chart. It's divided into two columns and six rows.
And this was a process for you coming to all of this after many, many times of doing this, right?
Well, right. Yeah, it was a kind of an organic process that took place over years, you know, to right. to so arrive at the simple nature of it now.
Right.
But so anyway, I traced this back using muscle testing. I was asking questions. Well, when did this occur in the last 10 years of your life? No, earlier than that. Okay, it occurred around age one. And so when I arrived at that, I looked at her and I said, do you have any idea what this might be about? And of course, she had no idea. But at the beginning of this, I had happened to meet her and her mother. Her mother came with her. So I looked out at the audience and her mother looks as white as a ghost. And I said, hey, do you have any idea what this might be about? And she said she was really embarrassed, but she said that during those years, she used to use cloth diapers. And one day she accidentally pinned her daughter to her diaper.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And wow. Yeah, and so this, and she didn't know about it until she changed her the next time. And so here's this poor baby crying and crying in terrible pain. Nobody's coming to help her. She develops this trapped emotion of feeling forlorn, which is kind of all alone and hopeless and desolate and lonely, all rolled into one. And so I released that emotion, and she went back and sat down. And I kind of forgot about it. 10 days later, I get an email from this girl's mother, and she said, listen, she said, my daughter has had this problem she didn't tell you about that has been affecting her hip and her knee. She's had pain, and it's been affecting the way she walks. It's been going on for about 10 years. And she said, it's been gradually getting worse. And we've tried different things. Nobody's been able to help it. But she said, when you release that emotion of forlorn, that all disappeared. And it's been gone ever since.
Wow.
Right? So this is the kind of thing that we see.
Wow.
And not only that, but, you know, there are mental and emotional and physical effects when we remove that baggage. And one of the most important aspects really the most important aspect of the emotion code is what's going on with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the 1960s, when doctors started doing heart transplants, it didn't take long before people started coming back in reporting really bizarre things, like how their taste in music or food or sports had totally changed, or how their handwriting had changed, or how they had memories of being in places that they never in their lives had visited,
right.
And yet they had those memories. And in every case, when they were connected with the family of the donor, they would find out, oh, yes, that's our son's handwriting that you have. How weird is that? Or, yes, our daughter was a concert violinist, and that must be why those pieces that you keep listening to, those were her favorite pieces.
Wow,
there are whole
yes.
books written about this, right? Cellular
right.
memory. Well, the ancient societies, you see, believed the heart was the seat of the soul, a source of love and creativity and romance, and really the core of our being. And in the West, we've really never given any, you know, really any heed to those ideas, just thinking that those ancient peoples didn't have the kind of equipment that we have today. And that was all just poetic license
right,
back then.
Right.
But these ideas go back in every culture all over the world. In fact, even today, if it's Valentine's Day and you're lucky, somebody might give you a heart-shaped box of chocolates or something, right? If you're lucky. And anyway, the heart, it's all about love and romance. Well, what we have found is that and what we believe is that the heart really truly is a second brain. They've found that the heart puts out an energy field that extends out a magnetic field around the body 12 feet in diameter. And when you're feeling love or affection for another person, your heartbeat will actually become measurable in their brain waves. Think about that. So there's this communication going on, right, between all of us all the time that's invisible. Well, when you feel like your heart's going to break, that can feel like there's an elephant sitting on your chest or like you can't breathe. You know, you're going through a breakup or divorce or whatever it might be. What's happening there is your heart is under assault. That second brain of yours is under assault. And the subconscious mind will put up a wall around that heart. And that wall is made from layers of your emotional baggage, literally from your trapped emotions. And what we have found is that 93% of people have this phenomenon going on, this heart wall phenomenon. And when that wall is taken down, amazing things happen. People fall in love who never thought they would. People have creative ideas that start to flow just spontaneously because the best creative ideas that you'll ever have are going to come out of your heart, not your brain. And the problem with this world is 93% of us are walking around and we're living our lives from the brain in our head. And that brain doesn't really feel anything. Mm. And in order for this world to transform, we have to move to this place where the majority of people are actually thinking with their heart instead of their brain that's in their head, right?
I'm not only finding all of this fascinating, but I'm chuckling in the back of my mind saying, okay, well, he didn't learn this in business school and he didn't learn this in computer school. And you probably didn't even learn it. Of course you didn't in chiropractic school. Where does this come from for you?
Well, the heart wall, was actually an amazing thing that happened. My wife had a dream. It's about 20 years ago. And, she asked me to help her decipher this dream. And as I'm trying to help her do this, all of a sudden I have this waking vision, which is the only way I can describe this. The room that I was in suddenly disappeared, and I'm seeing this incredibly beautiful hardwood floor. And I have this understanding that her heart is underneath this floor.
Oh, wow.
And I had no idea what this was about. But I mean, this lasted for several minutes, and it was in 3D, high definition. And I told her what I was seeing and understanding. She didn't have any idea either. So we asked for some help from up above, and we started testing her, and here's what we found. She was born into a very volatile family. Her father was kind of a rageaholic. It was kind of an unsafe environment, and so by the time she was 2 years old, she felt like her heart was going to break to a point where her subconscious mind started to try to protect the heart,
right,
putting emotional baggage around it,
right,
building this wall. So the price that she paid was that it was easy to feel negative emotions, hard to feel positive ones, depression, anxiety, always feeling kind of isolated. And when that wall was taken down, and that's, of course, we teach in the book how to do this.
Right.
You can do it yourself. When that wall was taken down, it made an enormous shift for her. And it's made a big shift for many people all over the world, too.
You know, for those of us who are actually being able to watch us, they'll see that as you're talking about this twice, you've done this movement where you're putting one hand in front of the other as if you're building a thicker and thicker wall.
Right.
And in actuality, that's what you talk about in the book, is that some people's walls are different length, are different thickness.
Different thicknesses, yeah. And they can be made from different materials and so on. And, you know, I mean, it's a subconscious thing. The subconscious mind operates on its own, and if it feels like you need a wall to protect your heart or it's going to be broken, the subconscious will put up a wall. And it can be varying thicknesses, but we mainly just worry about removing those emotions that are making up that wall and taking that wall down. And I could tell you so many stories. We could do a whole show just about this. But the people who have fallen in love, who never thought they would, even at advanced ages, even in their 80s and so on, people who have finally been able to succeed in business and in other ways, it's a phenomenal thing. And that's on a personal level.
How does that feel to you?
Well, it's really incredible. I mean, I feel like everything that's happened to me in my whole entire life has prepared me to bring this message into this world. Mm. And I'm just on a mission to do this. I'm just grateful to know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so sometimes people say, well, aren't you retired? And I say, well, no.
Well, not if you're going around saying, I just work here. You're definitely working. But you're saying it's not about me. This is bigger than me.
Right.
And I feel like you're very genuine about that.
It's really true. It's not about me. But it is about this world, and it's about helping this world, you see, to transform. The world is trying to transform, and we see all the signs all around us. I mean, all the friction that's going on and all these old institutions that are really struggling to hang on to their power and so on. But as the world transforms, we're going to move eventually to a place where everyone is living from their heart. And it's going to be an amazing place to get to. And I know we're going to get there, but it's going to be a little bit of a process to get there. But this is part of that, you see. And people have seen this work transform the world. I mean, I've done seminars all over the world and for many, many years. And in many places, people have come to me and have shared with me how they had a dream or a near-death experience or a vision where they saw this work. They saw the world transform, and this is part of that.
Mm. Well, if you want to learn more about it, you can go to discoverhealing.com. And actually, if you want to get a taste of it, Dr. Nelson is giving two free chapters if you go to emotioncodegift.com. There they also can download the actual emotions that people can work on that they learn about in the book, right?
Yep. That's okay. Right.
And that's at emotioncodegift.com. Otherwise, discoverhealing.com. Otherwise, the book is available at Amazon and anywhere that books are sold. We'll be right back with a little bit more with Dr. Bradley Nelson, then our Ask Dorothy segment, and a little later on, Gems, live on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Dr. Bradley Nelson. Now, one of the places I didn't expect the book to go to, and I was delighted when it did, all of a sudden it talked about animals and having written The Little Dog That Could and how I felt like the dog and I were communicating and all of that. I felt like, yes, yes, tell me more. And I tell me more. Tell us more.
Well, yes, it was kind of a surprise to me that that animals develop trapped emotions as well. And what we have found is that the emotion code is the simplest, easiest way to help your animals, because 90% of all their problems, whether it's a physical problem or a behavioral problem, we find that it's actually just due to their emotional baggage. And if you find that baggage and remove it, amazing things can happen right away. There's a great story in the book about animals. We were called to go work
several
on a horse
of them,
once. Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
But the one particular one that I'll always remember was we were called to work on a horse that was kind of lame and had a problem with its hind quarters. It wasn't walking right. And they had a couple of veterinarians look at it, and they didn't see anything obviously wrong. So we went to look at it, and we found that this horse – and by the way, in the book, we teach you how to work with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can work with your cat or your dog and have a lot of fun.
And you use a surrogate, like they're touching the animal, mm-hmm. and you work with the person with the animal there.
You can do it that way. In the new revision of the book that's out now, mm-hmm. We actually show you how you can do it yourself too. So you can do it by yourself.
Oh, okay.
You don't need another person.
And really quickly, mm-hmm. I should mention also, you also talk about remote healing, like people that are not present.
Distance healing is also explained in there in a very practical way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We call it working by proxy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's a whole new chapter in the new book about inherited trapped emotions, how we inherited emotional energies, sometimes from mom and dad, that may go back generations.
Yeah.
And how to get rid of those, because your subconscious knows about those too.
Can you come back and tell us about that another
time?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one. All right. So the horse.
Well, so anyway, we're testing this horse and we find that it has a trapped emotion of sadness. And so I'm asking questions and getting answers through the surrogate person, which we explain in the book. But I'm talking to the horse and I'm asking, well, was the sadness about a human? No. Horse? No. A dog? No. A cat? No. And a bird flies over. And I said, well, was it sadness about a bird? And the answer came back, absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I actually started laughing and so did the people watching, because it just seemed kind of silly.
Random.
Yeah. Why would a horse be sad about a bird? But the horse's owner was there, and she said, wait a minute. She said, I think I know what this is about. The prior week, immediately in front of this horse's stall, a baby bird had fallen out of its nest and fallen down onto the ground on this little roadway, this little pathway, and has struggled for its life for a while and eventually died.
Mm.
And we tested the horse, and that's exactly what this emotion was about. The horse was in its stall and observed this whole little tragic event and was powerless to help was overcome with the emotion of sadness. So we released that emotion, which just took a few seconds, and they took the horse out and walked it, and it was perfectly fine, see? And this is going on with people and animals all over the world, and that's what this worldwide phenomenon of success of the emotion code, that's what this is about. It's people are reading it, and they're finding it, they're finding that it works. They try it, and it works, and there's nothing like having things work.
In fact, you call it future medicine.
It is.
How to release your trapped emotions for abundant health, love, and happiness. The Emotion Code. Dr. Bradley Nelson, can't thank you enough. This has been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's been great to be here. Thank you both.
Thank you for being here.
Discoverhealing.com or emotioncodegift.com if you want a couple of free chapters. And also, the book is available on Amazon and anywhere where books are sold. Oh, I do want to mention, actually, you did a reality show.
I did. Yeah, I was involved in my first reality show, and it's
nice.
It's on Bravo.
Like a real
channel.
Reality. This is real.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Did a real thing.
Yeah, I'd never done that before, but I got called by Bravo TV to do a little segment with Don't Be Tardy, which is the show. It's the reality TV show of the family of Kim Zolciak Bierman and Corey Bierman and their six kids.
From she's from.
She was from Real Housewives of Atlanta,
and he
played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Yeah, so that was really fun. Great to meet them. Great people.
And so, and now you're doing some things. Actually, in your book, you've got everybody: Tony Robbins, George Norrie, Don Tolman, Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden. Everybody's talking about your work.
Yeah, that's
really very exciting time.
It is.
Well, good on you. And thank you for being here. We're talking about your work too, obviously. So life changes, and we go on to our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Martha, and I live in Van Nuys, California, and I want to know how to get my friends and family to hear the truth. They watch mainstream media and are always wanting to talk religion and politics, and our time together ends up being very unpleasant. Not only can they not hear me, they get really upset when I express my point of view. How can I change them?
My dear Martha, the only people we can ever change are ourselves. When with family and friends who have major differences of opinion from your own, you may wish to explore other kinds of conversations rather than politics and religion, as these are two topics that are guaranteed to end up in heated discussions. It appears that your family and friends may be asking you why you can't hear their truths. Truth is an interesting thing, and my truth is often very different than the truth of some of my friends and family members. However, if asked by anyone, I will speak my truth, and if they want to strongly disagree, I will do my best to change the subject. It is not my job to change anyone other than myself. The truth is that it is impossible to change anyone else. In the past, I really believed that I could and should do my best to change others. I used to believe that I had all of the answers and that if only everyone would listen to me, this world would be a better place. What I know now is that we hardly ever know anyone else's true story of how they have arrived at their truths. In fact, I believe that very few of us know how we have arrived at our truths. So instead of fixating on changing family and friends, I choose to love them exactly as they are and to treat them with kindness and acceptance. If they want to argue and get heated, I gently remove myself from the conversations and suggest that we talk later and that we talk about something that makes us both happy to discuss. I have made peace with the fact that others' truths may not be anywhere close to mine, and that is okay. We are the power in our world, and if being right and getting everyone else to agree with you is your goal, then you could be comfortably miserable in most of your conversations. I trust that you will take responsibility for choosing not to engage in proving you are right and others are wrong, and that you find a way to lovingly remove yourself from argumentative situations. It has worked for me, and I believe it can work for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskChanges. At Ask Dorothy. And then maybe Ask Changes. At Ask Dorothy at LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Gems, on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy, and of course our guest, Dr. Bradley Nelson. And joining us in the studio, you've been hearing me say Gems. Well, they are solo artists and have come together as an alternative folk trio known as Gems, which is actually, well, I'll let them tell you. But they are Jessica Rotter, Emily Colombier, and Sarah Margaret Huff, together as Gems. Welcome, Gems, to the show.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And actually, I should say that some of the synchronicity thing, like we thought that we could have you all a couple months ago, and then about a month ago, and then finally it was supposed to be this show, when I'm listening to our guests saying, oh my God, let go of your emotional baggage. That's what the three of you do with each other, mm-hmm. help each other do. And that's what you sing about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. We're a band, but we also like co-write, and it's basically group therapy. So mm-hmm. it's creative, it's helpful.
And yeah. we've used music to help one another get through a lot of those, I don't know, we probably released at least 4,000 chopped emotions.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely. Yeah,
through sound vibration.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Well, actually, so Gems, where did Gems come from, the name?
It's our initials. So Jessica, Emily.
Sarah Margaret.
But we flipped them.
Flipped it.
Nice.
We got there.
Cuter.
Yeah.
And here you all were doing really well in your solo careers. And then how did you all come together?
So the total solar eclipse of 2017
yeah.
happened on my birthday, and I wanted an excuse to go tour and write it off.
Okay.
So we formed a band to go on
a
tour.
And went to Nashville.
And we went to Nashville to see the eclipse and go do some soul searching.
Yeah.
And then that band got booked at music festivals, and then that band got booked at different concerts and nights, and we said, oh, well, guess we're a real band now.
Yep.
And now we released our first album 2 months ago, and the successes have been very organic and really beautiful, and the people we meet along the way all really do feel like some serious synchronicity. So yeah. Similar to his journey, we've experienced a lot of that amazing, I don't know, the higher powers the hand on what happens.
And to listen to the three of you sing, you're not only are your harmonies tight, but your voices fit really tightly together.
That's what's crazy, because we're not related.
Right?
Yeah, Emily and I sang backup for some of Jessica's solo shows, and we ended up singing a trio song from the Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris, one of their albums, and people were like, oh, you guys should be a band. And we're like, we should be a band?
Yeah, the common comment was like, the blend is so tight. It's so...
Right. So we're like, okay. Well... Okay, so you are a band. Hello, you just played. Like, congratulations. Where did you just play?
The Troubadour.
The Troubadour.
Yeah, it was a great night.
Anyone who's seen Rocket Man knows that that's where Elton John got started here in America.
Everyone said after the show, they were like, I just saw Rocket Man, so this is really cool. And I'm like, well, I grew up watching Carole King at the Troubadour.
It was a dream.
Yeah. Wow. Well, looking forward to hearing you. Actually, you've got something fun coming up here this summer real soon, right, as well?
At the end of the summer, September 17th, we're playing at the Moroccan Lounge downtown, which will be our vinyl release show.
Well, and you're everywhere in between, so people could go to wearegems.com and learn more about you. But first, we're going to get to hear you. Yeah. This first song, actually... Isn't this one of those like emotional release, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the first song that we collectively finished together. I had the idea for it. And before this song, we were playing each other's songs that we had already written that had, you know, heavy harmonies. But this was one that I was working on, and I thought, I'm going to bring it to the girls and see what they think about it. And it's about my life's transformation. I shared it with them, and it was a beautiful cry fest.
I immediately cried.
And it's called Clay.
And this beautiful song came out of that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for going through that so we could all enjoy this. Here is Jessica Rotter, Emily Colombier, and Sarah Margaret Huff as Gems, performing their song Clay from their title album Gems, live on the Life Changes Show here from Vortex Dome, LA.
Born with a light, imperfect and pure. But they wanted more. Afraid to lose, troubled and torn. The walls we built, they said would be secure. From the light, so far from home, I threw down the weight I couldn't bear to hold, 'cause I found me hidden deep in the rubble. I found me, pulled me out of the trouble. I found me with beauty seeping out. I found me. I found me. Ooh. Ooh. There was a fire emblazoned and bold, with everything down to soot and soil. And looking around at all the unknown, all I could see was the goodness that I could grow, 'cause I found me hidden deep in the rubble. I found me, pulled me out of the trouble. I found me with beauty seeping out of the clouds. I found me, but the rain perfect and pure.
Wow.
Thank you.
Gems, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So beautiful. Jessica Rotter, Emily Colombier, and Sarah Margaret Huff. And Emily, should we thank your mom?
Oh, yes, I know. Well, she was supposed to come to our show, and she was playing something
with me,
with you, and made some like snarky comment like, well, I'm supposed to go to my daughter's show, but it's going late or something.
And so I said, well, tell me more.
Yeah, totally.
Then, but actually, was it your release party, of your album release?
Yes, it was our album release.
Wow, that's so special. I'm sorry she missed it.
Yeah, it's okay.
So thanks to her.
Yes.
And here we are. So wearegems.com. Is where they could learn more about you, and the CD they can get, which is called Gems, but it's also available wherever music is digitally distributed.
Yes.
So, you know, listening to that song and even the wall that we build is in the lyrics. Hello.
I know. As I was thinking about it, I was like, stop thinking. You're going to forget your words. This is so real.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I kept getting, like we talked about before the show, the vulnerability thing.
Yes.
So you're working through your vulnerability, putting it out there and being vulnerable in the hopes that
it helps other people. I mean, you know, we all go through very different things, but we're kind of all humans moving in a world and really similar. And I think that our stories can be different, but they can also, the stories that we tell through our songs can reach people where they're at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I truly do believe that. When you're a songwriter or anyone who shares, like a poet, an artist, anything that takes the spiritual world or the emotional world and translates it into literal words or words you can just read or feel or see, it helps other people tap into something that you were inspired to share, which I think makes us all stronger and smarter and feel more. So that's my purpose.
And part of your Gems sessions, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I include not only bringing an idea forward, but then you all share your idea about that same kind of emotion, right? Or how is that process where it becomes something else?
Yeah, you bring a song to the table. I say, this guy hurt me. I'm mad at him. And I say, this is my song idea. And then she says, when you say that sentence, it reminds me of this experience I've had with hurt. And she'll say, oh, I had this experience with hurt. And then we're able to write verses that all relate to.
Yeah, all into one song. Mm-hmm. But it's like coming from a bunch of different places, but it's a similar enough emotion to kind of latch on
to. It's like
kind
of the
everyone.
Same vibration.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, actually, this song is called Like myself that you're going to be performing now, is that saying I like myself or like me? What are you saying in that?
To feel like yourself.
Oh, feel full, like yourself.
The full line is, damn, it's so good to feel like myself.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the whole line.
All right. Well, can't wait to hear it. Yes. Here are Jessica Rotter, Emily Colombier, and Sarah Margaret Huff as Gems performing. As Gems, I keep saying it that way. Gems.
We are Gems.
We are Gems. I love that. And so fitting. Performing Like Myself, live on the Life Changes Show here from Vortex Dome LA. Yes. Gems. We are Gems. I want to hear this whole album over and over again. So looking forward. The album is Gems, J-E-M-S, and it's available wherever music is sold digitally. Mm-hmm. And wearegems.com is where you can learn more about them. Thank you so much. Look forward to hearing so much about you all over the world.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be in the dome.
In the dome. Did you like it when all that stuff happened behind you?
It was so cool.
Stars, hearts.
It was
very cool.
Well, I said behinded you, and I threw myself off. Did you like it when you saw all that behinded you?
We were just talking.
I was just bewildered.
So thank you so much. And again, a big thank you to our guest, Dr. Bradley Nelson. On behalf of our production engineer, Kaylin Holmes, and our director of photography, Kristen Meals, that is our show. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.